Thank you that you've joined me in this broadcast of The Love Way. Man, it's wonderful to just speak this good news of Jesus Christ with you today and to just share with you on how much God loves you, how much He cares for you. Before we get into the word on spiritual warfare today, I just want to spend a couple of minutes on healing. In every session we've got about 5 to 10 minutes where we just speak on the healing power of God, and many people get healed through this. So I just believe this is what the vision is that God has placed upon my heart. Just to think, we're in 2007 already. The first week of this year is over. It's gone quickly, just like that. God is a God that just wants to bring you into this year full of health, full of wealth, full of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, full of contentment. Isn't that wonderful to know that God gives those things freely unto us? Amen. You know, when we believe to be healed, so many times we just get a warped idea of faith. Faith is not a difficult thing to have. Faith is a natural thing to have. You know, if you put your hand in a fire, as easy as what it is for you to be hurt when you put your hand in a fire, that's how easy it is to have faith. Because the hurt you have when you put your hand in a fire is not something you decide to have. It's something that happens to you as a result of the fire. Now the Bible says that that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes by you hearing the good news message of Jesus Christ. That's how faith comes. So pain comes by putting your hand in the fire. Pain is not something you decide to have. Pain is something that happens to you. The same with faith concerning healing. Maybe you've been lying in that bed all the years. You've struggled with that knee problem. You've struggled with that back problem. I mean, you've been struggling with that asthma for years. You say, man, it's in our family. It's in my genes, man. It's just inside me. I cannot get rid of this. I've got good news for you. You can just hear to this 10 minutes today, or 5 minutes that I'm going to speak on healing, and you'll just experience faith coming into your heart, and then all you do is just rest in that. Don't try to do anything. Just say, well, I rest in this. This is mine. And just act upon that. You will experience healing today. I've seen many people being healed. In our ministry, we've seen thousands of people being healed in crusades. You know, when I do the 10 crusades, I pray for the sick. I say, how many people are sick here? Put up your hand. And I don't even sometimes call them forward. I just pray over the crowd. I just say, after I prayed, I say, who got healed? The same people put up their hands. 95% of the time. You know, we've been in gospel crusades where all has been healed. All has been healed. People in wheelchairs, people throwing away their crutches, the blind, the deaf. All the sick was healed in these crusades. Thank you, Jesus. And I just made a point of it. I'm going to put these crusades on this broadcast sessions as well, so you can see what God is doing. Amen. God is going to do just the same in your life. You know, when I was in Zambia, I want to testify about this. There was a man that that died next to the church building, because, you know, they sit outside the building and then they eat their food and stuff during the lunchtime, and it was very hot, and he had malaria, and he was like 76 years of age. And I was inside the house and we ate there. And when we came for the service, Pastor Emsley from Potchefstroom was preaching. And this was in Lusaka where he preached, and I was in the service. And then a pastor came, and he called and said, there's somebody very sick outside, if I would go and pray for him. And this is what he said, because he was scared to tell me that the guy died. So I went outside, and when I came there, I saw that the flies were already in his mouth and in his nose. And I mean, he was just dead. And I didn't try to apply the super faith to get him healed. I just touched him and say, in the name of Jesus. I didn't even say, come back to life. I just say, be healed. And he opened his eyes. He jumped up, testified that he died, and that God raised him from the dead. Isn't that wonderful? It was so easy. It's not difficult to get the sick healed. It's not difficult for you to be healed. But through looking at people that has not been healed, it became difficult for you. Now, I don't care if my neighbor is not healed. You know, sometimes I might have a problem, say, with my foot, and I pray and it doesn't get healed. And then I might get toothache. And I might say, well, I'm not going to pray for the toothache because my foot hasn't been healed. I don't walk like that. Even in my own body, I might have a problem that I prayed for and hasn't been healed. It's not going to put me in doubt to pray for to receive healing in another area of my life. What to say about another person? If another person is not healed, I don't even think of him. I don't even think of, I don't think of him not having compassion. I don't even think of his situation, and I don't want to make his situation applicable to my life. Don't do that. That's not going to bring results in your life if you're going to look at another person's life to receive healing for you. You must look at the good part. So many people say, Bertie, but why don't the preachers broadcast the healings that doesn't happen? Do you think the healing that doesn't happen is going to produce faith in your life? It's not. We preach Jesus that heals. So Jesus that heals must be broadcasted. That's it. Hallelujah. So we want to show that which produces faith. So look at that which is good. Look at that which is faith producing. And that is what is a wonderful thing to have in your life, that will produce this wonderful power that is in your life, already in your heart, to produce that healing, to manifest that healing. Amen. Now, when I look at my own body, I don't even look at the area that doesn't get healed when it comes to healing in another area. When I've got a pain in my knee, I'm not going to look at the pain in my knee and if it got healed or not when I trust God for finances. And if I didn't get finances when I believed, I'm not going to look at that to trust God and believe in God when my knee is not healed. So let's trust in Jesus. Let's rest our minds in the integrity of God. And through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God and everything that was promised to us. Amen. Like I said, we don't believe something because we get it. We believe something because it is so. I don't believe in healing because people got healed last week. No, I believe in healing because by His stripes I was healed already. That's why. And if 20 people get healed when I pray for the sick, I don't pray for the next one and say, well, these 20 got healed, that's why you're going to be healed. That's not the truth. Because this 20 was healed, that's not why this next one will be healed. You know why the next one will be healed? Because God's a God of love and compassion, and through the stripes of Jesus there's healing. And He gave authority unto me, according to Mark chapter 16, to heal the sick. Let's read verse 20. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word with signs following. Isn't that powerful? God confirms His word with signs following. Let's quickly go to Acts chapter 14. God confirms His word of grace with signs following. Now Acts chapter 14 and verse 3. Let's read from verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue, and the Jews, and spake. And a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. And the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So God confirms His word of grace by signs and wonders. And this is your time for a miracle. Hallelujah. Let's not look at what happened to Sister Joan and Brother John to base our healing upon that. We look at Jesus. Amen. Father, I speak Your healing power over people right now. I thank You that lives are being touched as I speak Your life-giving word right into the hearts of people in this moment. I just say belief, faith comes forth by You not trying to believe, but resting in the faith of Jesus, which is enough to heal you. In Jesus' name. I just see that somebody that's really been struggling with migraine is being healed right now. by the power of God. You just felt in your neck, you heard a little bit of a noise in your neck, and there's just a healing. You just felt that pain just disappeared. You are healed from that migraine headaches right now in this moment. I just see somebody with an infection in the jaw. Maybe it must be something with your teeth. I just see that infection being touched. You feel it's still swollen, but you feel the pain is gone, and that's a sign of the complete healing in your body. Oh yes, I also see somebody, I think it can be a cancer or something, in your nose, on the inside, also swollen there. God heals you from that cancer. It dries up into the roots right now. And normally it was just blocking your nose, but now you can feel it, you can breathe more. There's healing in that. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power. I also see there's somebody with a elbow problem, a tennis elbow or something. I just speak the healing power of God. I say you are healed by the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus, that you recreate everything in that elbow. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for that, my God. Hallelujah. There's also been somebody that's been in a motor car accident. You don't have the full use of your right hand. I just speak the healing power of God into that hand right now. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I say I bring you healing and I bring you life in Jesus' mighty name. And all other sicknesses, by the power of God, you are healed right now. Amen. On the screen you have seen a number. Please SMS the miracle that has happened to you, the touch that God has given, even if it wasn't what I named. Whatever God has touched you, just send it to us. It's good to hear your praise reports. Thank you for everybody that's been sending so faithfully. And just be faithful to what God has done in your life. You know, so many people, when they get healed, they send it. Other people, they get healed and they don't send it. Just take that effort, send it. If you've got a cell phone, we want to hear what God has done for you. Let's continue in our message concerning spiritual warfare, and let's open the Bibles in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read there from verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Now, before we get into verse 14, I want to say this. We are in a spiritual war. That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul says. He says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, because we war against these things, verse 13 says, "Take unto you the armor of God." So many times we think, you know, there's this spiritual war in the heavens, and the devil is just in everything. There's a devil behind every bush. I've got good news for you. God's light is so much brighter than the darkness. I just want to say it this way. Even if there's just one little light, it's more than all the darkness in the world. All the darkness in the world cannot take away the light of one candle. It's impossible. Light expels darkness. You know, it's like the force of light is just so much greater than that of darkness. Whenever you put on the light, darkness flees at the speed of light. Now you need to know that God has got His armor of light, the armor that keeps God safe, that keeps God how He is, and that God gave unto us through Jesus Christ, is that which He is given unto us to walk by. We don't have to walk by any other armor. What chance does the devil have to overpower God? There's no chance. Now, if I take you know, if I take my motorbike and I give it to somebody to drive, and I give him my jacket and I give him my helmet, and he comes down the street riding this bike, and somebody sees that bike coming down, what they gonna say? Say my friend John, I gave him my gear to wear and he drives my motorbike. What are they going to say when they see the motorbike? My friends, they're going to say, here comes Bertie. But it's not Bertie coming. It is Bertie's motorbike and Bertie's clothes, but it's not Bertie, it's John. Because he has been clothed in my clothes, people think it's me. It's the same with the armor of God. If we are clothed in the armor of God, what the enemy sees is he sees God. Because we have been clothed not with a righteousness like God. We've been clothed with the righteousness of God. We haven't been clothed with some holiness. We've been clothed with the holiness of God. The new man we've been clothed with, which was risen with Christ from the grave. So many times we think that the devil is... Man, the devil is everywhere. The devil is over the town, the devil is in your house. The devil is in every type of thing. The devil is in... People believe the devil is in mosques. The devil is in types of clothes. You know, you're so scared because if there's just a wrong name on your shirt, God cannot heal you. If there's just somebody just spoke a curse over a piece of ground, God cannot make something grow there. But let me tell you something. You can put a curse on any ground and I'll plant something there and it will be a success. That's it. Let's take ground. You take two pieces of field and that produces well. Two pieces that produce well. And you can ask a Sangoma to come and put a curse on the one piece. I'll plant there without trying to break the curse. And you'll see it will yield a wonderful crop. Do you know why? Because the Bible says, who can curse what God has blessed? Hallelujah. God has blessed me. Wherever I go, there is light. And that's the spiritual war that we are in. And what the devil wants to tell you is that you must just go through your house all the time and check every little thing in your house. Maybe your grandfather gave you something of value. Maybe there's a curse upon that. Now you want to go and burn the thing and thinking that's the spiritual war you're in. That's not spiritual warfare. That's breaking furniture. What we need to do is we need to have the peace of God in our hearts. Now if there's something in your house that you don't have peace about, you need to walk according to the peace that's in your heart. Get rid of it. You know? Don't have it in your house then. But what we need to get to is to a place where we realize that even food offered to idols cannot harm us. Because if we thanked God for it, that prayer has sanctified it. If somebody gives me something out of Africa, you know, I'm not going to say, is there a devil in this thing? Why is this thing made unto the glory of God or not? Man, Toyota has not been made unto the glory of God in Japan. Let me tell you the truth. But today Christians, when they receive it, they say, oh, thank you, God has blessed me because I received a brand new Toyota Camry. No. You know, we need to walk. Sometimes we get so foolish as Christians because we think the devil's in everything. I want to tell you, when it comes to me, it's blessed. If I thank God for it, it's blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, if somebody wins the lotto and he comes and he gives me that money, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach the gospel with that. Thank you, Jesus. But I haven't played the lotto. But if somebody wants to give it... No, but that's gambling money. You know, how can you use that money to preach the gospel? You know, I don't care where it comes from. If it comes to my house... And I've thanked God for it. That prayer of thanks has sanctified it. Now why does it sanctify it? Because maybe it wasn't holy. It sanctified it. The same with food offered to idols. With what Paul spoke about. When it comes to your house, don't believe in the power of the devil over the thing. Believe in the blessing of God over it. One day I was in Zambia. And I preached the gospel there. And people came around my caravan. I think I told this story many times. And there was many instances like that. They just came and they would just dance around the caravan, put curses upon me. And I thought, well, I need a break. The pastors thought, I need to break the curse that was placed upon me because I might die. I said, no, I'm not going to break the curse. Nowhere in the Bible has I've been commanded to break the curse that somebody puts upon me. The Bible says, bless those who cursed you. So I said, where are those people that has cursed me? I want to just give them some coke and some maize to bless them because they've placed this curse upon me. Because that curse is not worthy to rest upon me. Can Jesus be cursed? No, He cannot. And because Jesus cannot be cursed, I cannot be cursed. You might say, but Bertie, where do you live? In what world do you live? You know what? I live on planet Earth. I live in Africa. Thank you, Jesus. And I tell you, no curse can rest upon me. It's impossible. Because light is all over me. That is the spiritual war that we are in. And I just said this so that we can know that spiritual warfare is not about trying to bind devils and all of that. The piece in the Bible where where Jesus spoke to Peter, where He said, Peter, upon this rock I'll build the church, and unto you I give the keys unto the kingdom of God. And whatsoever you declare as free in the heavens shall be free in this world. And whatsoever you declare as bound in the heavens shall be bound in this world. Let me give you an example. I declare unto you that you are free from your sickness, and that the power that brought sin into your life, which was the law mentality, is bound by the obedience of Jesus Christ. You know what's going to happen? Sin consciousness is going to go away from you, and you're going to receive healing. That's it. It's as easy as that. Now, the weapons of our warfare, I'm just going to go and touch on one or two of them today. It says here, stand therefore, having your loins girt with the truth. Now, what is the truth? And what is the loins? The truth is having no consciousness of sin, but having a consciousness of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Now, it says, have your loins. Now, what is the word loins? The loins is the Greek word that speaks about hips, that speaks about your progressive power. What pushes you forward in life and in Christianity is the message of God's love. Paul says, the love of God compels me. And what was this love? That one died and then all were dead. Now, this love, the mentality that says that Jesus Christ died on behalf of all and then all were dead, that's the love of God that pushes you forward. God, that by being conscious of Jesus only, don't be conscious of your works, be conscious of the truth, don't be walking in a consciousness of your sins. Protect the message of the finished work of Jesus and what He's done, which is His love, which pushes you forward in life by meditating on the truth and not on your sins. That's what it says. Let's read it again there. It says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. The truth is not the sins you've committed. You might say, Bertie, you know, I've heard people preach the gospel. They say, well, I just speak the truth. I say the way it is. You're a scumbag. You're a sinner. You're a this and a that bad thing. You know, that's not the truth. That's the lie. That's not the truth. The truth is Jesus. If you say to somebody, I speak the truth, you're a scumbag, you are saying Jesus is a scumbag. Jesus is not a sinner. So let's speak the truth. If you want to speak the truth about somebody, tell him the truth about his sin. The truth about your sin today is that you have been forgiven. It has been paid for in Jesus Christ. The truth about your sin is written down in Acts chapter 13 verse 38. It says, men and brethren, through this man Jesus Christ is preached unto you today the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. And that you've been justified from everything that the law of Moses finds you guilty on. Hallelujah. That's the truth about your sin. What's the truth about your sickness? The truth about your sickness, that you have been healed. Now it says that the weapons of our warfare is to walk in the truth. And what the devils and demons want to do is they want to make you sin conscious. They want to bring in a mentality that says, if somebody has sinned in your past, in your bloodlines, then God cannot heal you today. That's a lot of rubbish. That's not the truth. That's the doctrine of devils. It's not from God. Now, maybe you've been preaching that. I'm sorry if you hurt, but I must preach the truth about the gospel. All you need to do is you can just say, I'm sorry, phone the people that you've sold your tapes to and tell them I'm sorry, and I've gotten a better revelation of the truth, which is Jesus. Hallelujah. That's all. I'm not against you. I'm not against people that preach that. I am just against that type of teaching. And I'm for what Jesus Christ said. He says, the truth is Jesus. The truth is not a consciousness of sin, but a consciousness of righteousness. Let's read it again. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. Let's have the progressive power in our lives that the weapons of our warfare is not carnal. Now we think carnal speaks about sinful. No, carnal means by your works or by your deeds. The way we war is not by trying to do everything right. That's what that scripture says. Our warfare is not by trying to do everything right, but it is spiritual. It is through what God has done. It's through what the Spirit has done. Hallelujah. And therefore, I want to walk in the truth about what happened to my sins. I cannot walk in the facts of what I do every day because I'll be cursed. Because I'll commit sins today. But I cannot walk by that because then the church will never be in victory. I walk by the truth. My sins has been paid for. Hallelujah. In the next broadcast, we're going to speak more about this and about spiritual warfare and get more into the good news about spiritual warfare. Thank you that you've joined me today. Thank you for the SMSs that you've sent. And God bless you.